Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. You can also check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, May 3rd. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Johnny Cakesawville.
What's up, Eric? Thanks.
What's up, Cakesy? And Jason Bishop.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Got the boys behind the glass producing, Matt Valdez, drab t-shirt. How you doing, boys?
Yep. Good morning.
They're there.
We've got a lot to do on today's show. Obviously, we're going to recap the NFL draft. John Kime's going to join us from ESPN.com at 7 o'clock at his take on the haul for the Washington football team. It's a Monday. That means the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Peter Laviolette, joins us. We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. Getting closer and closer to the playoffs on both the hockey side and the NBA side. But we'll talk to Coach Laviolette at 8 o'clock. And then Jason LaConfora will join us at 9, NFL Insider. How was your weekend, though, boys?
Mine was mediocre. Very mediocre, to be honest with you. You know, I was up in Buffalo for the first round of the MAC tournament. And unfortunately, we lost in a heartbreaker. 14-13, whatever could go wrong, went wrong. I think we started down 7-1, made a furious comeback, and had a shot right there at the end, and the goalie made a great save, and the players were stunned, the coaches were stunned. You know, hats off to Canisius, they deserved it, but that was a heartbreaker that really we should have won. Yeah. But it was just very, very difficult. I ended up going back with the parents. And we had a dinner, had a few drinks, and we ended up at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so hammered.
Did you really?
I haven't felt that bad. I don't think I've felt that bad the next day since I paid the cable guy when I lived in Berkeley Apartments in college, and I dry heaved all morning.
Wow.
And here's why. Here's
why.
Way
back.
So at dinner, I had one Jack and Diet. And then I didn't want to go crazy, so then I think I had two beers, okay? No big deal. Feeling fine. The guys say afterwards, hey, you want to go have like a nightcap or whatever at the bar before they close? And so we sit down, and it's like three of us dudes, and then another couple sits down later. So it's about five of us, right, parents?
Was this the hotel bar?
Hotel bar, okay? And they had just opened the hotel bar, right? It's like COVID. They'd been shut down for a year. It basically had the janitor working the bar, okay? So as we get there, we go, what do you guys want? And somebody said a Grand Marnier, and I said, I'd have a Grand Marnier. That'd be great. Hadn't had one in a while. And so I go to the bathroom, and I come back, and I'd heard the bartender say, I can't do anything complicated. You know, in other words, I don't know anything, right? So I come back. He basically served us a pint of Grand Marnier. If you have a Grand Marnier, you should have like a little sip. Right? And you're just sipping on it. And he gave us this pint. Now, believe me, I sipped on it, but I was sitting there for an hour and a half sipping on this effing Grand Marnier because for whatever reason, even though I knew it was outrageous, I mean, I knew immediately. I was like, I've never seen anything
so
like
that.
So
he served it like it was a pint of beer.
Basically.
Like it was an IPA.
To be honest, when I say a pint, I would say about a half a pint. I mean, I have never seen, it was probably six shots.
How much? Did everybody else get hammered?
They had to have. Like, how could they not?
Well, was anybody sloppy, embarrassing themselves?
No, not that way. I mean, I think I was slurring my words a little bit when we were talking, but, you know, it was midnight. But it's just that you can't drink that much Grand Marnier and not destroy yourself.
What was the bill? Because
I have no idea. The guy paid for it.
Sprung for it.
I have
no idea. Do you remember walking back to your hotel room?
I remember all of that, but then I just passed out when I got into my room. And then the next morning, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I couldn't go back. I took two showers. I was just trying to like get steam on. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I had to get on the plane at 1, and I texted my wife. I said, I don't think I can get on the plane. Oh. I could puke at any moment. Now, I never did. For some reason, I have some weird stomach that doesn't puke very often. But my body, I haven't felt this way maybe, I don't know, 30 years. My body, at random times, would just break out in a sweat, and I felt like I was going to puke.
Yeah. And it's the worst feeling knowing you have to get on a plane. You got to stand in security lines.
So then I went downstairs, and I was just like, I took all the Gatorades. All the Gatorades, and I'm just pounding Gatorades, drinking water. Meanwhile, my buddy, one of the dads, Vinny, who'd been drinking all day, literally started drinking at noon. And he had the nightcap with me. He got up at 7 a.m. with his wife and drove back to Long Island.
Oh, he can handle it.
Oh, he's a professional.
That means that he's doing it more often than you are.
Oh,
obviously.
My God.
He's going hard.
He wasn't even fazed. Uh-huh. And I honestly felt like an 18-wheeler.
Dude, some people are like that. Some people can just pound the drinks, and they just don't get hung over. I don't know how it's done.
I felt...
It's a superpower, actually.
Horrific.
I'm pretty convinced of that.
It's a superpower.
It is a superpower. No hangover, man.
But and so no now you're 2 days later, you still feel like trash?
No, I feel 99%, if not 100. Yeah. But I felt so sickly, and you guys have all been there, I'm sure, where I have zero interest in drinking right now. Zero. Yeah.
You don't even want to think about it.
No.
I remember I was in Florida. I went down to Florida with a couple buddies for a golf trip. This was probably 10 years ago, down to Fort Lauderdale. And the night before, my buddy convinced us to go out to dinner and have some coffee. We were out late.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty early flight the next morning coming back home. And I remember standing on the jet walk thing, you know?
Yeah.
And leaning on that thing, and I couldn't even focus on life.
Well, being in that is miserable anyway, let alone if you're hungover.
Yeah, and then I got on the plane, and I told the flight attendant, I said, I don't know if I can fly. I said, just give me some water. Right. I don't know if I can fly. And she said, well, were you drinking last night? I said, yes. She said, well, if we get up at 30,000 feet and you pass out or, you know, start throwing up, we're going to have to turn the plane around.
Oh, right.
I said,
embarrassing.
Oh, so embarrassing. I said, I can't do. She said, do you want to get off the plane? I really didn't want to get off the plane.
No.
I wanted just to get home and get to my bed.
Right.
You also don't want to be that guy where you have to make an emergency landing.
Believe
like
me, that's
Charlotte.
All I thought about.
Right. I just thought, can I get through a 2.5-hour flight without any issues?
2.5 hours is a long time.
It's a long time. Dude, I felt so bad. And I powered through it. I told the flight attendant, I said, can you just make eye contact with me like every 5 minutes?
He said, look at me.
Sure I'm okay. And she said, I will. And I remember her sitting up there, you know, near flight cabin, and she was looking at me the entire flight.
Well, you probably terrified her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
She's like, this guy's going to start projectile vomiting all over the
place. If I had to do 2.5 hours.
My head was spinning, and oh, my gosh, it was nuts.
The only reason why my wife said, because, you know, she was zero tolerance for me, you know. But she was like, just stay an extra day, she said, or just get in a car with some of the other locals. We have quite a few families from the DMV that go to
that would have been worse.
No, I said, a six-hour car ride? There's no way I could do that. But the only reason why I could power through the plane ride was because it's only an hour. 2.5 hours? I don't know if I could have done it.
Almost reminds me of that NFL draft that
I thought of that.
That I missed. I missed the flight, remember?
In Atlanta.
That's right.
You went back into the room.
I went back in the room and slept for another 4 hours.
Yeah.
I didn't
care. That was after
care.
I got my picture with Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
You missed it. Antonio Cheek of the Bellhop.
One of my heroes I missed because I was too hammered.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst feelings.
Feeling.
It's one of the worst.
I got to tell you this. You know, I said, how was your weekend? And you said, mediocre. I think that was how you described it. And well, sounds actually worse than mediocre.
I would say, I mean, I
that sounds
die.
Horrific.
Yeah, yeah, pretty bad.
Well, I would still trade.
Because? Oh, really?
I'll just sum it up this way. Start of the weekend, and they do a fantastic job, but Crop Metcalf came here, I think, the day after seeing Jason on the air conditioning unit.
Mm-hmm.
Bought this house, and part of the selling, you know, they tell you this unit's from 2015, this unit's from 2017, and all that sort of thing. So the downstairs unit works beautifully. Upstairs unit, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cha-ching. That's how the weekend started. And then the weekend ended by us going to a birthday party for one of Isabella's friends. When I'm driving there, I get the little signal in the car that says that the right tire needs some air. No big deal. I've done that a million times, right? Mm-hmm. When I leave the party, oh, it didn't just need air. It was completely flat, so I had to change a flat tire. It was just a debacle.
I couldn't have pulled that one off.
Hmm. Well, I didn't pull AAA. It off well.
I would have had to call like three well. Or four buddies to come out.
Well, AAA, I had to do a lot of that.
I just
called
AAA.
Yeah, call AAA. So
AAA,
easy.
AAA, silly.
So I'm not a member.
I mean, you feel emasculated. You feel emasculated, but you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You got a pro do it.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get run over while I'm trying to figure out how to
do
that.
Well, that'll never. I mean, if it were in like a parking lot, I might consider doing it myself. If it's near a highway, zero chance.
At this point in my life, I'll never change another tire. It's not happening.
No, I was in a parking lot, Cakes.
Yeah.
The last time I actually had to change a tire, though, it was after a pregame show that Cakes and I did close to DuPont Circle at Front Page or one of those spots that we were doing pregame shows from. And I was able to change that pretty quickly, so I was kind of cocky. But that was probably a decade ago, and the tires have changed. And I hadn't checked. Who checks the spare tire until
nobody
they need
ever,
it, right?
Ever. Nobody
and
checks
so
it.
I pull it out, and the last time I did it, it was just a donut. I didn't have to inflate it or anything. You put the donut on.
What do you mean? If you have to inflate it, it's useless.
Right. Well, I didn't even realize that I had to inflate it. I start driving it. And I was like, this thing's like on the rim. What's going on here? And then I
How
called my guy.
How are you supposed to inflate it?
So apparently the new cars, maybe not all of them, but this car, which was an Audi A5 that I got it over at Rockville Audi, has something called a Space Saver tire. And the Space Saver tire,
it's called the useless tire.
I put it on and I started driving it. And then when I called the guy, I was like, I don't know what's going on. I changed the tire, lug nuts, put on the new lug nuts, did all this stuff. And I'm telling you, something's wrong. I'm afraid to drive this car. And he goes, well, did you inflate the tire? I was like, what? Isn't that supposed to happen?
Apparently,
there was like a compressor box behind the tire, which I didn't even see. Of course, I didn't read the instructions. And then I had to fill up the tire. And then I was good to go. But it was like a technology that had passed me by in the last decade since I last changed the tire.
And by the way, also, fewer bigger indignities than driving around on a donut tire. It's so embarrassing. You feel like the world's biggest nubber.
Yeah.
Like, well, you also feel like that thing can blow at any time.
Oh, yeah. It's so unstable.
Oh,
yeah,
and I did think about Cakes because when the tire starts inflating, it does almost seem like it's going to pop.
Mm. Yeah. It's not an unfounded fear. Now, it's a weird fear, but, you know, tire overinflation, something you should not be snoozing on. You can blow that tire up right in your
face.
By the
way, getting back to that AC unit issue, I'm having an issue too. I don't want to get into it, but that's going to cost you somewhere in the 7 to 10K range, I'm guessing.
It's going to cost a pretty penny, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new house.
You know,
it's nice.
What you can do, you can buy a home warranty. Now, I think you're going to have to wait 30 days before you put your first claim in. Right. So I don't know if you can wait 30 days without the AC. But that would save you some money.
No, Ben and the people over at Crop Metcalf, they're going to take care of me. I'm going to end up paying a pretty penny, but we'll do it for as cheap as possible. And look, it's a new house, so let's get the new unit that works.
Yeah,
and hopefully I don't have to lean on a warranty because it'll be a brand new 2021 unit.
Yeah.
That started the weekend, and the freaking flat tire kind of culminated the weekend with going to my mom's house and starting to go through all of her stuff, which is a total pain in the butt, which I know you dealt with your mother passing a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So not a fun weekend.
No.
But hey, we got the Washington football team making a draft and drafting a speed demon amongst others and a big lineman. So when we come back, let's start grading the draft, which I know is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it's what we do. If you want to chime
in,
800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC. Brought to you by the DC Lottery. We'll talk NFL draft and Washington football team next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Mm-hmm. So we had a three-day draft. Of course, on Friday we talked about Washington drafting Jamin Davis, the linebacker. On day two and day three, they addressed a bunch of needs. They did not address quarterback. Before we get into the players they drafted, what do you make of Washington not drafting a quarterback like a Davis Mills or a Kellen Mond? We spent so much time talking about these guys and grading these guys.
Well, I think
breakdowns.
I told you a million times, I think they like their quarterback room. And,
yeah,
you know,
they obviously do.
Yeah, I mean, we had to look at all of the options, and it's fun to do, but I always said, who are they going to cut? And I guess the option would have been obviously Kyle Allen, but you know, they even brought up Montez. They just feel comfortable that it's not an immediate need, and I actually happen to agree with them.
Rivera, after the draft, said, I'm very confident. I think we got guys that can manage games when they need to be managed and guys that can go out and make plays when they need to be made.
Mm-hmm. He's got his starter in Fitz, and he's got two guys behind him that he's familiar with and that know the system and can run it well. So they didn't feel a need to grasp at a mid-round quarterback or even a second-round quarterback.
This is what we were arguing as late as last Thursday, where we were saying they think they can win with these guys, that their defense is, you know, a playoff-caliber defense, if not better. And They want to make a run. They don't want to mess around with a rookie and win four or five games.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. So Washington does not go quarterback on day two or day three. They do go to places where they help the quarterback, though. And they started with drafting the tackle from Texas, Samuel Cosmi, who at least the analysts seem to love his athleticism.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so funny? Is I was reading about him and all these guys. I did my little research on Sunday because I was traveling and everything this weekend. Didn't really pay attention until Sunday. Hogshaven did a great breakdown, right? And they talked about his athleticism score on mm-hmm. some scale. He got like a 99 out of 100 or something, like very, very highly rated. Then I read ESPN's breakdown and they go, he's not that athletic, but he's smart. I mean, it's people don't know.
You just don't know.
People
what
don't
believe.
Know anything. But yeah. He did start 34 out of 35 games. He played right tackle and left tackle. So
you know, was a team captain, which I'm telling you, Rivera likes some of those leadership, military family. He likes some of those intangibles.
Right. We have no idea if he'll be any good, but on paper it makes a lot of sense. I also saw this, and it kind of is in line. It's a little higher than I thought, but it's kind of in line with what I've also been saying. Again, nobody knows this team better than we do. That the offensive line, I don't feel like it's been quite the issue that people have thought. Pro Football Focus had it ranked sixth last year. Sixth in the NFL. So it wasn't a massive, massive need, but, you know, you want to solidify, you know, the left tackle if you could. Or maybe even move him over to right tackle. He's versatile. He could play either
one. Swing tackle.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if you draft a tackle in the second round, he's obviously going to be part of your team ASAP.
Yeah,
well, you're
going to
have competition at the very least because you don't really know what you have in Sadiq Charles. Guy was on the field for like a play, but they drafted him. They were high on Jaron Christian last year, but he also got hurt. So you really don't know what you have there, and you're right. I mean, eventually, I don't know Morgan Moses' contract situation, but it's good to have competition at the very least.
It's so just a really solid pick on paper.
Right.
So they have no idea if he'll hit, but...
Well, that's what I mean. So when we grade drafts, I mean, it seems like every team gets an A or a B. I mean, there might be a couple C's sprinkled in there from somebody, but most teams get A's and B's because they address needs, and that's what Washington did.
That's what the way I look at it, Jason. I look at it like, I have no idea. And these guys could all hit, they could all bust.
Yeah, of course.
But do the picks make sense?
Yeah.
And for me, I'd say 80% of the picks make sense. I don't know if I quite understand all of the pass rushers that they drafted like in the seventh round.
Well, those are late picks.
Understood, I don't know why they did that.
We'll get to that. Again, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. But EB is absolutely right. I mean, I read all these spots about how great of an athlete Cosme was, but I'm looking at that ESPN breakdown right now. He is not a tremendous athlete, but he has the smarts to know how to keep himself in good positioning to protect the quarterback.
Buy the deal where they tested him, and he was like in the 99th percentile or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he is.
It would have been interesting regarding the quarterback thing. And, you know, Eric, you probably are right that they just didn't love any of these guys.
Yeah, you don't have to force it. You don't want to force it.
They weren't interested in trading up, but it would have been interesting to see if one of those guys had slipped in the third round, had slipped to one of their picks, just to see if they, you know, if Davis Mills slips to number 74, slips to number 82, if they would have kicked the tires on those guys. But those two quarterbacks, Mond and Mills, went top two picks in the third round, so they were gone.
So in the third round, Washington took a corner, Benjamin St. Juste from Minnesota.
Here's what's interesting about him is, so he's got all the size and attributes that you want, not overly speedy, but what jumped out at me is he had no picks in college. So who was the DB that we had here for years that we used to drop balls all the time? Then he went to the Niners.
And Carlos Rogers.
Yeah, all of a sudden he started catching everything.
Or maybe they just stay away from him because he's so silly.
Could be.
that's what you always hope for.
Could be,
when a guy doesn't have a lot of
picks. He's going to be a depth guy anyway because, remember, one of their big signings in free agency was William Jackson III.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be a starter.
But
he's a depth guy. You
never see corners that are 6'3".
Yeah, but dude, that's
a big corner.
That's a big corner that can cover big wide receivers in the red zone, anywhere really. So, I really like it on, you know, we'll see. See how
I don't think
out.
You can have too many good corners because the way the league is.
Yep.
So, again, I thought a position of need. Yep.
And we thought that wide receiver might be something they address early, maybe even their first-round pick. We tended not to think that once they signed Curtis Samuel in free agency, but they do go out and get a speed demon wide receiver from North Carolina, Dyami Brown, with their second third-round pick, number 82 overall, is a guy that runs 4.4. He's pretty skinny, 6'1", 189.
Yeah, but he's fast, and he was Sam Howell's guy at Carolina. The games that I did see Carolina play, and I did see a couple of them, Brown made plays. He averaged more than 20 yards a catch.
Well, every play on his highlight package is downfield.
Yeah, he's a deep threat guy, and they had two or three really explosive players in their offense, and he had 1,000-yard years both years. And he had 20 total touchdowns. So he was their big play threat and, again, adds some depth.
On paper.
And looks good, yeah.
On paper, if he pans out, he's like the perfect number two.
Seen him comped to McLaurin by a few people. So, I mean, if you get...
I don't think he's as fast as
if
McLaurin.
If you get a poor man's version of him, you'll still take it.
But, again,
it's
depth. I mean, is the third wide out Adam Humphries?
I think he's the second wide. I think he's the number two. He's a number two guy.
I think he might be the number four.
Well,
because I think your number two is Curtis Samuel.
I think Samuel is going to be more. He might be number two in terms of catches, but I think Samuel could fit more in that slot like he did last year in Carolina.
Well, I mean, that's kind of why they got Humphries. So, I mean, we'll
see
how it plays out.
Humphries, whatever.
He's your possession guy.
Humphries is brought in because Fitz likes him. I personally would rather have McLaurin, if Brown is as good as advertised, and then Samuel, then McLaurin, Samuel, Humphreys.
And by the way, it's competition because remember, they drafted Gandy Golden last year. Okay,
oh, he's done.
And they have, why is his name escaping
Kelvin
me?
Harmon.
Kelvin Harmon coming back.
I feel like Harmon's on the outside looking in. He'll be lucky to make
this
roster.
It looks like they have a glut at wideout now.
Yeah.
Like they actually have real competition and real depth there.
Because they also drafted Milne in the seventh round, who, you know, doesn't
necessarily. He's probably a special teams guy.
Doesn't necessarily test well, but he's one of these rare guys where I read up on him, right? And he runs like, I don't know, like a 4.6 or whatever he runs. But then I watched him in the field. He actually plays a little faster than he timed.
He was one of Zach Wilson's favorite targets, right?
He was his main guy.
He has a good little wiggle to him, so he might surprise some people,
right?
Possibly.
So they go wide receiver with that second, third round pick. Then in the fourth round, they address tight end. So again, they didn't draft a quarterback, but they're looking for help for a quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver, and tight end. John Bates from Boise State. Big boy, 6'5", 250.
He looks like he could be a beast.
He's probably a really good blocker, I'm guessing.
No, he catches the ball really well, Jason. I don't think he did much blocking, actually.
That's my kind of tight end right there. Very little blocking, mostly catching.
He didn't catch a ton of balls. He only caught like one per game. So, but you just when you watch the highlights of him, you just see just like a big receiver that catches everything and – I just think he's going to be a great complement to Logan Thomas.
He's supposed to be pretty fast, as EB mentioned. So in the later rounds, I'll just kind of rip through them. Round 5, they took a safety from Cincinnati, Derek Forrest. Round 6, Cameron Cheeseman, who's going to be the long snapper, replacing Nick Sundberg, who was here for 11 years. And then the 7th round, they took a couple of pass rushers, EB mentioned. William Bradley King from Baylor and Shaka Tony from Penn State, and then their last pick was that wide receiver from BYU who caught 70 balls, 1,188 yards, and 8 touchdowns. He's 6'1", 193. They project him, though, at least right now, mostly as a guy who they hope to contribute on special teams. And with the kind of glut at wide receiver they have, they're going to be battling. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you make of what Washington did the first draft with the two Martys running the show? And Ron Rivera. And what do you make of them bypassing a quarterback? Let's go to line 1. Ben in Silver Spring. Ben, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
How you doing? I'm really happy. I'm happy with the draft this year. You know, for years you guys have poo-pooed me because I've been down on the quarterbacks. Because I think they bring quarterbacks in. They don't have the line. They don't have the targets. And the quarterbacks get killed back there. Now they've got some infrastructure. They have some stability in the front office and the coaching staff, play calling. Next year you go for the quarterback. Let the team gel. And hopefully things will be good for the next 5 years. But, you know, like a line from the movie Pulp Fiction that I can't say, let's not start, and I'll stop there. You know what I mean?
No.
But that's okay. I don't remember that line from Pulp Fiction.
Thank you. I don't know. Listen, I would love to go for a quarterback next year, but, again, you can't force it. I mean, if there's not one there that you love, then you can't force it. So, I don't think you could predetermine that.
Look, they didn't love any of these quarterbacks. If they did, they would have moved to take one, or they could have taken Kyle Trask in the second. They didn't. They took the tackle. They could have moved up in the third to take one of those guys. They didn't. They didn't love them.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you can't force it.
And ultimately, this is what it's going to come down to. How's Fitz going to play? How's Heinicke going to play? Whoever's on the field, how are they going to play? If they play like Butt, then we're probably going to look back on it and regret that they didn't do some of those things which Jason talked about.
Maybe. Let's see. I mean, and here's the other thing. I mean, if Justin Fields goes out there and becomes Justin Herbert, then you might say, well, we probably should have done it. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. They didn't feel like that those were going to be the guys.
Yeah, you got to let it play out.
All right, let's go to Vic. Oh, no, you don't say Vic because Vic can be a little wordy. Let's say Vic. Let's go to Brandon in D.C. Brandon, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
I thought it was a decent draft overall. A couple reaches. I still feel like we didn't address all the speed at linebacker. We made it, you know, with St. Juste and with Cosme. I thought those guys went a little early. Mm-hmm. But overall, I thought we added some competition and depth to the wide receivers. That's going to be a hell of a battle in camp. And I am disappointed we didn't get a quarterback of some sort. But, you know, like you said, if it's not there, you know, Justin Fields is going to be a mistake. I think that he's going to be a player in the league, and he went to a good team with a good defense like us, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it.
So Cosme was lower on Brandon's board than he was on Washington football team. I love how all the armchair draft analysts call us. Well, this guy was lower on my board. Seems like a bit of a reach.
Yeah.
I mean, Washington has, they probably have dozens of people, scouts, you know, working on this for a year.
Of course they do.
They know where they want to pick these guys. They're not reaching on most of these guys, if any of them.
EB, who are you cutting? I'm making you the offensive coordinator, wide receivers coach.
Easy for me.
You like a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to Kelvin Harmon, Isaiah Wright, and Cam Sims. You got to cut two of them.
He does love Isaiah Wright. He's got a soft spot.
Well, what about Gandy Golden?
I forgot about him. Yeah, you got to cut three of them.
I think Kelvin Harmon coming off the injury, he wasn't drafted by this regime, was he? No.
No.
Yeah, so I think he's on the outside looking in. So I think he'll be gone. And it's unfortunate. I like him. I think Cam Sims has the brightest future of these others. So if I could keep Cam, I would.
I forgot to mention Steven Sims Jr.
I'm already assuming he's gone.
Okay.
Sims Jr., there's no room for him.
All right, Isaiah Wright and Gandy Golden.
Isaiah Wright, I think, can play, but I mean, he's like, you could find a lot of Isaiah Wrights. So I would cut Isaiah Wright. And Gandy Golden, I don't know, maybe practice squad. He's shown. I mean, we'll see how these young guys play, but I think all of those guys will be.
Because the assumption would be, all right,
struggle to make teams.
The assumption would be, and you can shake them around, but Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Adam Humphries, and they just drafted Brown. Yeah. So that's four.
Those are your top four.
You know, maybe you keep two of the other guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
like,
sometimes they've kept seven.
Your boy Jeff Bidette's also on the depth chart still.
No, he's gone.
I mean, you know,
you're definitely going to keep six, minimum
you
six.
You're going to keep six. Sometimes they keep seven.
Sure.
So, you know.
But some of those guys.
Hangs on. He gets a red shirt year because he was a mid-round draft pick. You still need to see what he can do.
I agree that they want to see, but, I mean, so far we've seen little.
I think Harmon has a shot. I think Harmon has a shot. I think Harmon can make this team.
Yeah, but the Sims are nervous. Cam.
I think Cam has proven he can play. I think Cam has proven.
There's only so many spots, EB.
And Harmon, the reason why I say Harmon, I like Harmon. I just think he was drafted by the other regime. They have zero loyalty to him.
All right, have to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Remember, we got John Keim from ESPN.com. to talk some draft at 7, and Coach Laviolette from the Capitals getting close to the playoffs. He'll join us at 8 here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Can open up the Junkies sports page here in moments, but EB wanted to give Vic a little time to chime in on the Washington football team's draft haul.
Let's not get crazy. I mean, Vic's not going 10 minutes, but
I said a few.
Yeah, let's give him a moment to have his chance here to chime in. Vic, are you there? Hey, buddy.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Y'all show me so much love, man. I was laughing. He said, Vic's a little wordy.
What's up, man? What'd you think?
I liked it. The first pick I really loved, I know you guys have been giving me crap about it for years, but Jamin Davis takes away routes intermediate, horizontally with his eyes. He sits in the middle of the field and assesses routes going in and out, and he's able to put one eye on the quarterback and put one eye on the receivers that are nearest to him and the receivers that were coming to him backside. We have lacked that ability at linebacker for quite some time. And to be perfectly honest with you, if Holcomb was able to do that, which they drafted Jamin Davis to do, we beat the Bucs. I know a lot of people, some people disagree, some people do agree, but we'd have beat the Bucs. That was second and 12. That would have been a coverage sack. We probably would have got a sack fumble because they wouldn't have seen the man-child coming from the backside. But beyond that, I like the rest of the draft. And I'm glad we didn't go after a quarterback. We didn't need to right now.
I agree.
What I really feel that they're saying is Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tyler Haneke are good enough, and we believe in them a little more than we're saying we do right now, and we are building the team around them to be a better football team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they can win now, and they don't want to mess around necessarily with grooming a rookie unless he's the right guy. And they didn't feel like that they necessarily wanted to do that with Trask or Mills or any of these other guys. So, yeah, and I'm with you, man. The Jamin Davis pick, like, I don't know about his eyes, but I know he's got the speed to close, and I know he's got good hands. And he
and you know they needed a linebacker.
Oh,
you know they
needed
a linebacker.
It was their biggest need.
Yeah.
It was their biggest need.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's why you have to give the team an A. And I know everybody usually gets an A or a B, but just based on what they needed and, you know.
I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to, Jason. I think Kuiper gave them a B or maybe even a B minus. I can't remember exactly because he felt like they should have moved up to get a quarterback, their quarterback.
Yeah, okay,
the future.
But they still got a B is my point.
Right.
So you don't see teams getting C's and D's and F's.
Yeah, I mean, who would know? I mean,
you just don't.
No, I mean, nobody would know. The thing you have to say is, did they address their needs? And in my opinion, they did. Do they still have a need at quarterback? Of course they do. But for now, they have a group they think they can win with.
It also signals, too, that the owner isn't, you know, rappelling in off of a rope to make a pick to move up to number three, which you have to love if you're a Washington football team fan.
Right.
You want Ron Rivera and the Martys in charge of the draft and making every single pick.
Just so people realize, I mean, it's documented now, and we said it at the time, but when they picked Haskins, Jay and those guys, they were standing on the table screaming that they didn't want to make that pick.
They hated that pick's guts.
That was Danny Boy's pick.
Yep. We had info weeks leading up to it that this was going to be an S show. That right. He wasn't ready, that he wasn't worthy of that pick, but that the owner was going to make it, and that the word was that they were going to. One of the guys said he felt like puking.
Well, okay. You know when Rivera took this job.
One of the guys, you know exactly who that guy was.
Yeah,
Rivera came in and said, "I'm drafting the players.
I'm in charge." Yeah.
Yes, not you. It's me and whoever
bring in. You're not going to poke your head in and make one of your pet picks. That's not happening anymore. Those days are
done. Step aside. Let us handle it.
It sounds like it's a collective thing from talking, right? And just the way it's Ron, Mayhew, and Marty Meatballs.
Sure.
The three
That's
of
the way
them.
It should
his
be.
Guys. His guys.
Right. All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page. We're going to get back to the draft at 7 o'clock with John Keim, insider who covers the Washington football team for ESPN.com. Sports page, though, brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider, and Dell Federal Partner.
Valdez, I don't know how you did with the Derby and your plays.
Uncle Kenny hit it big on the Oaks.
But, I know the Kentucky Oaks, the horses that Uncle Kenny liked. Did he hit an exacta, or what did he hit?
He hit a $100 exacta, paid him $18.75.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
I only did matchups. Actually, no, that's not true. I did one. I picked one horse to win. It was known agenda. I think he was 5-1 at post time. Obviously didn't win, but Medina Spirit was 12-1, wins. The horse that placed was a long shot as well. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Now, hold on. Are you talking about the Kentucky Oaks? You're talking about the Derby.
The Derby.
Yeah, the Derby. Yeah. I paid no attention to it.
Yeah. Well, you were too busy drinking GM.
No, I was home at that point.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
You were home on Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you already home?
Yeah.
And then Hot Rod Charlie finished third. But Essential Quality was the favorite, finished fourth. Known Agenda, he was down the list. I mean, I hit a couple matchups, but you just can't pick. You can't predict it. Medina Spirit.
So who was that? That was the winner. Who was the winner? Medina Spirit was the winner.
Yeah, it's a Baffert horse.
Yeah, Baffert wins. This is his seventh Derby win.
Yeah,
that's a record.
Nobody will believe me, but I picked that horse to win.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have any money in my account to make the official bet.
You're felted?
So why? Were you telling
you
people?
You should have told me.
Spirit?
No, it was like 10 minutes before the race I started. I logged into my like TVG account or whatever that we did for our Horsey Happy Hour. And at some point, I felted my account, and I didn't have enough time to get the race bet in.
Couldn't make a deposit?
It cost me $120 at least. Hmm.
Drab gets so psyched to make his last-minute horse bets.
Yeah.
Well, so doesn't everybody?
You need to make your Drab deposit.
Well, I mean, I just figured, you know, if you're going to watch it, just to have some interest, you got to play some horses.
I know one thing. I felt so vulnerable to buy another horse.
You did?
Moment of weakness?
Yeah, because all they did was talk about the group of bros from Brown University that went in and bought, like, a piece of Hot Rod Charlie.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
Like, back when it was a yearling or whatever. and they owned 5% of them. They looked like they were the happiest bros in the world.
Do you miss Mama Grizzly?
And so I missed the sweat.
You don't miss the actual horse?
No, I don't miss the horse. I miss the sweat.
Did you ever meet the horse?
Yeah, of course.
You pet the horse?
I pet the horse. I went to Rosecroft and pet the horse.
That's about all you could do, right?
Don't you realize, Ali, I know it's a bunch of college bros chipped in, but don't you realize that when like the Dubai royal family owns a horse?
That the sheikh, I mean, the thing eats better than I do. Trust me, I get it. But
it is amazing how nice those horses look.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just unbelievable.
But when those bros look like they're having the greatest time ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you just can't get into that game because they're buying high-end horses. You're buying Mama Grizzly.
Right. You're buying Knobbers.
I know. But they bought 5% of a horse. How much did they pay? I don't know. It's still probably a lot.
No, I mean, there was like 8 of them. They probably chopped 10K between 8 people.
All right.
Wait, hold on. Wasn't Medina Spirit, he was like cost nothing?
I don't know that.
I think it was like, I might be wrong here, but I thought I heard like $10,000.
Okay, maybe Medina Spirit, but is that the horse that the Brown guys were in on?
No, that's Hot Rod Charlie. That finished third.
But some of those horses, I'm sure, you know, somebody hit a home run, but I'm assuming most of those are pretty expensive bloodlines. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, the stud fee probably 50K, 100K.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's just fun to watch. I mean, the pre-race hype is crazy. I mean, you got all the Kentucky Oaks, and there's a million races. But
I honestly would have watched, but I forgot all about it. It just was off my radar. I was still mourning our loss, and I just didn't turn the TV on Saturday. So I'm bitter. Bitter because I thought watching it.
So the lacrosse game was on Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so I was home by 3.
Well, you were just thinking about going to bed.
Well, yeah, I was still a little bit hungover, but I...
It was just off your radar.
It was off my radar. I didn't even turn the TV on.
Well, real quick, switch gears here to the Nats. The Nats have won 4 straight. What's amazing about this division is we're 23 to 27 games in, depending on what team. All right, the Mets and Nats have played less than the other teams, but there's not one team with a winning record. Every other division has a team with at least 17 wins. In the NL East, you have 500 or worse with all 5 teams. Some of these teams, the Braves pitching is a complete poop show. The Phillies are up and down. The Nats pitching starting to come together.
Corbin much better the other night.
Corbin was
Scherzer,
much better.
Of course, dominant.
Unbelievable. Lester was really good in his first start. They sweep the Marlins. They've won 4 straight. So they're now 12-12. Still not scoring a ton of runs, but their pitching's been really good. And I texted Rizzo. I texted him after you got Schwarber hit the walk-off on Friday, right?
Friday night.
I think it was Saturday morning I texted him. I said, what's amazing to me is that there's not one team with a winning record in the division. I said, division very winnable. He says, very. That's all I say. Mm-hmm. He said, very. So you don't have to be, you know, the Padres or the Dodgers. You don't have to have, you know, all-stars up and down the lineup. This division's winnable.
Are you Rizzo's consigliere at this point, Jason?
Well, he texted
me. Like his confidant?
He texts me about stuff during the show sometimes.
Okay.
So, he's listening.
Oh, I'll tell you what. He was listening on Friday. Anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what. To be 12-12 after kind of the rough start and the COVID and all the BS, I think it's actually somewhat miraculous they were able to kind of gather themselves that quickly. And they weren't getting great pitching early on. They weren't, you know what I mean? Like, to be 12-12, pretty good.
And if they can get everything hinges on health. If Strasburg can come back sooner than later and stay healthy, they got a shot at winning the division. I'm sorry. These teams are not that
totally
good.
Totally do.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get back into the draft and what the Washington football team did with John Keim from ESPN.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.